How's everybody? Ready for a good 4th of July? We're in Psalm 23 together, and have been for a couple of weeks. We will be for a couple more, probably. Just got back from an awesome youth camp. We had a great time. I did not kill them. They did not kill me. We have just some pictures from Zephyr Baptist Encampment, which is a camp up on Lake Corpus Christi, is where we went. We took 47 total, including adults, of us that went. And God just really blessed. We just had such a great time. We had I don't know the exact percentage. We're going to be presenting a bunch of these kids to you next week. We're going to be having baptism next week for a number of these kids. We had a large percentage of our kids accept the Lord. We had a number of them make a recommitment to follow Christ in their lives, and a number of them even commit to full-time work, full-time service of God. And so God just really did some great things. It wasn't just our group. We had a great group, a large number of, nothing like taking a picture with a blanket over your head and getting put in church, right? That's what happens. And we're just so grateful to God and for all the things that He did, and just thank you so much for praying for the youth. Thank you for your support. We had fundraisers. Some of you adopted and scholarshiped the youth to be able to go. Camp is not cheap, and so we just really appreciate that. And just the fruits of it are going to be great. Like I said, we're going to be baptizing hopefully a pretty good number of kids next Sunday and presenting a bunch of them too. You're going to be able to see their faces and hear. Hopefully maybe some of their testimony. But we just want to give glory to God for all that He did and the work that He did, and appreciate so much, especially Irma, who is our youth director, Irma Jacks, and her hard work. And because she's like a mom to these kids, she's constantly chasing them, get their forms in, get their money, make sure you're at this, make sure you're at that. And so, Irma, we appreciate you. You do a great work, and these kids love you, and the fruit of your hard work is seen in how God is working in this youth group. So we're grateful, so grateful. Psalm 23 is where we are, and we've been there for a while, like I said. And we're going to be looking at one of the biggest roles. This is the shepherd psalm. It's all about the shepherd. It's not about us. It is about us if we'll assume the role. What is the role? If God's the shepherd, that means we're what? Sheep. And what's the most important thing you need to know about sheep? They're dumb. They're dumb, 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 dumb. They don't know anything. They're not going to know anything. You can't educate them. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they've been. They don't know why they're there. They can't run. They're white. They can't hide. Even if they did, they wouldn't know why they were hiding. Sheep are just dumb. And so that's great if you're a sheep. But here's what you need to know. If you're going to assume, which we all love Psalm 23, don't we? Most of us know that from heart. But if we're going to assume that Psalm 23 applies to us, that God is the great shepherd, that means we have to assume the role of the sheep. We have to assume the role. That's very humiliating. It's very humbling. And it's very difficult to do. But it's so important that we do it. And because we face so many things. And what we're going to be looking at this Sunday is the primary role of the shepherd. Primary role of the shepherd is leadership. 90% or more than 90% of what a shepherd does for sheep is he leads them. He leads them. You know, we live in a culture that's making so many decisions and faced with so many decisions. There was a test that was done between Western American college students and Japanese college students. And here was the test. Gave them both 100 of each selected. Gave both groups blank sheets of paper. On the front side of the page numbered 1, they were to write down all the decisions that they wanted to make about their lives for themselves. On the back side of the page, which was labeled number 2, they were to write down all the decisions they wanted someone else to make for them. Now, it might not surprise you at all that the American kids, for the most part, filled the front side up. They want to make all their own decisions. And almost nothing was on the back side. In fact, the only thing that was typically on the backside of the American kids was they wanted someone else to decide when they die. That is when they get old and someone to pull the plug, if you will. That's the only decision that they wanted to give to somebody else, as if they could make that decision themselves. They really can't even make that decision themselves when they get there. Guess the Japanese kids, they did 4 times as much on the front side making their own decisions as the Japanese kid did. Japanese had about average half on one side of the page or and half on the back side of the page. American kids, they want to make all their own decisions. We live in a very independent nation, a very independent thinking. And interesting, a writer in New York Times, a guy by the name of David Brooks, wrote about our choice explosion that's taking place here in the United States. In fact, he made this statement. He says, Americans are now have more choices about more things than any other culture ever in human history. Do you know that? We have more, we have the ability or the option to make more choices about more things than any other culture ever in human history. As an example, for instance, Crest toothpaste. Crest toothpaste? You know how many varieties of Crest toothpaste there are? How many remember when Crest toothpaste came out? How many varieties were there?
One.
There was Crest, and then there was this, and then there was this. There's 27 varieties today of Crest toothpaste. It's crazy. Campbell's soup, 53 varieties. Cheerio cereal. Listen to this. You got the original, then you got honey nut, then you got honey nut medley crunch, then you have apple cinnamon, then you have banana nut, then you have frosted, then you have chocolate, then multigrain peanut butter, and then dulce de leche. Did you know that? That's the truth. Cinnaburst. Then Tide liquid that you wash your clothes. You have original scent, then you have plus Febreze, then you have plus Febreze Sport, then you have free and gentle, then you have plus bleach alternative, I don't know what that is, then you have cold water bleach, or cold water Tide, and then you have clean breeze, and you have mountain spring, and then plus Downy, and then active life, head and shoulder shampoo. How many varieties? I bet you couldn't guess this. Active Sport, Old Spice, Deep Clean, Hair Endurance, Refresh, Extra Strength for Men, Citrus Breeze, Ocean Lift, Dry Scalp Care with Almond Oil, Classic Clean, Sensitive Scalp Care, Itchy Scalp with Eucalyptus, Smooth and Silky, Extra Volume, Green Apple, Damage Rescue, Extra Strength Clinical. I want the hair regrowth one. They don't have that. We live in a time where there's just so many choices, and this is what the guy concluded his article. He concluded it this way. He says, for the American consumer, it becomes incredibly important for us to learn to decide well. You have a hard time making decisions, you're living in a tough time, because there's so many decisions out there, so many. There was just one thing of Crest, one thing of Campbell's soup, one type of Tide, well, then it would limit it, but it's not like that anymore. Things have so changed, and it's not just in this era. These are just small compared to the decisions that we have to make in life. And these run, in some cases, interference, and they keep us distracted from the things that really matter. We need to realize that in this world that we are sheep and that God is the shepherd. In fact, that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 95, 6 and 8. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people, the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Can you say that? Is that true for you? I mean, honestly, you follow Him. He leads you. You don't tell Him what He's going to do and what He's going to bless. Your prayers are all about, God, just help me to be in Your will today. Help me to follow You. Please help me not order my steps today. Is that the way your prayers reflect? Or they're basically telling God the stuff you need to do for Him, because it's like He works for you. He's just one more person in your circle of people that serve you. How does it work? Like I said, don't call Him shepherd and not do what He says. Don't call me Lord, Lord and not do what I say, He says. Don't claim Psalm 23 over your life and then not actually live as the sheep lives, which is totally dependent upon the shepherd in every area, every facet of their lives. The main function of the shepherd is to lead his sheep. And the reason why it is the main function of the shepherd, because it is the sheep's primary need. Even though we live in a culture in which we're making so many decisions and we are so prone to make our own decisions, what you need to know is this. The primary need of a sheep, which is what you claim to be, is to have decisions made for you. That's a tough one, isn't it? You're going to have to hack that one down, because you really need to swallow it. And I'm even though I have a title of shepherd, I'm just a sheep too, so don't ask me to come. That's why people come. They want to come. Pastor's going to make decisions for me. No, he's not. No, he's not, because he's having a hard time running his own life. That's why. He's going to direct you to the shepherd. That's what this shepherd's under shepherd's response. All my own responsibility. And to what he's already said, if he's a good pastor, that's what he's going to do. But he's not going to tell you what his opinion is, most likely, because you need to go to the shepherd. I'm not in relationship with the Lord for you. you are. You go to him. But we need to be dependent upon the shepherd. You're going to call yourself a sheep, you're going to call him shepherd, then you need to do what he says. And so it's so important that we understand the primary need of the sheep is to be led, is leadership. So if you're going to call yourself a sheep, then what you're saying about yourself is my primary need day in and day out is for God to lead me. Name all the things that you're praying for and all the things you need to know, but the most important thing you need to know is that I need God to lead me today. God needs to lead me. What needs to happen to you today here in church is that you need to surrender your complete leadership over to the Lord. That can help you so much. Because what you need to know about sheep is that sheep, number one, have no sense of direction. They just don't. Everywhere we go in the scriptures calls the sheep. Sheep are sad little creatures. They're not pretty. They're not smart. They're not fierce. They don't do anything but produce wool. They eat, they sleep, they poop, and they produce wool. That's all they do. And everywhere we go in the scriptures, it calls us sheep. That may offend you. So be offended, but then get over it and get to the reality of that's what we are. We all, notice, like sheep, have gone astray. How many of us have gone astray? All of us. No exceptions. No exceptions. Why? Because that's what sheep do. That's what they do. Because sheep don't know where they're going. So a sheep left untended or a sheep unwilling to follow the shepherd will always, 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 always go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, which is one and the same. If you're walking your own way, I can guarantee you this, you're astray. You're not going the way you should be going. You're in danger. I make my own decisions. I go my own way. I've got it all figured out. Well, boy, are you in for a rude awakening. If it hasn't happened already, it will. And you're only going to get one shot at this. So I'm giving you an option. You're here before the Lord. The Lord's brought you to this church to hear this sermon so that you can get hit upside the head, because that's what you need. So you can get yourself back in line with the shepherd. The most important thing for the sheep every day is that he's right behind the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd is, I'm going to be right behind him. That's a sheep that's going to be fine. He's going to make it. It's going to be good. But a sheep that's running out with no shepherd in front of him is in huge danger. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all. That's what God did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. We've all turned astray. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep don't know where they're going. Are you willing to accept that? They don't know where they're going. But sheep who are determined to do their own thing are convinced that they have the wherewithal to figure it out are sheep that Psalm 23 does not apply to. Still sheep. Psalm 23 is really not for you. It's nice. Have it on your wall at home. Read it in the Bible. Quote it whenever the pastor tells you to. But it really is not going to work that way for you, because this is only for those who are willing to say, I'm a sheep. That's what David's saying. You got this wealthy, extremely successful, very wise man standing in front of the whole world saying, guys, you need to know something. I'm a sheep. And God's my shepherd. Do whatever you want to do with your lives. This is the way I'm running my life, and it's working really, really well for me. I'm recommending it to you. And of course, the Holy Spirit is too, because here you have it, right in the middle of inspired text. There was a guy by the name of Dr. Dan O'Reilly, and he wrote a book called Predictably Irrational. The book is about the fact that human beings are exactly that. We're predictably, we like to think of ourselves as rational creatures, but actually we're very predictably irrational. And he gave this position. This is what he said. He says, basically, reason why he says this is because we make decisions. He said, we like to make decisions and think that we make those decisions based upon logical, reasonable parameters. He says, but basically my research has demonstrated that that's not true. So the typical reason why you and I make decisions is not because logic or because of reason. And the reason why we make the decisions that we do is because that's what we want to do. We just simply, why did you buy that car? Because bottom line, I did this and I did this and I decided this. No, the bottom line is you wanted that car. You know, don't lie to yourself. This was the example that he gave. He said, I drove a motorcycle as a young person as a mode of transportation. Years and years he drove a motorcycle. As he got older, he's a doctor, he's a professor in a college, and he says, I decided I needed to graduate to a car. So he decided he was going to give up the motorcycle, put it up for sale, and he was going to find out, he was going to find himself a car. So he went online, and there's all kinds of tests you can take to determine what's best for you, the best house for you, the best place to live, the best car to drive even. And he said he took the test that's the quote-unquote best car to drive. It's going to equal, at the end of the test, it tells you what car you should be buying. And so he took this test and asked all kinds of questions about where you live and what your lifestyle is and what your income is and what you like and what you don't like and what you like to do and your preferences and your hobbies and all these different questions, pages and pages and pages. And in the end, it spits out a result of the kind of car you need to buy. So he took the test. And at the end, it told him that he needed to buy a Ford Taurus. He was extremely disappointed. So I'm supposed to go from riding a motorcycle for the past number of years to buying a four-door blah sedan? And so I sat there for a minute trying to soak in, okay, this is what it says that I am. I mean, I've been honest on all these answers. I've not tried to fudge in any way. I've tried to be real. And so this is what it says that I am. And he said, so I did what any normal American would do. Said I began to hit the backspace button on my computer keyboard, backing up. I backed up page after page after page and made sure that I had answered the questions properly. He says, what I really was doing was changing the questions to get a desired result. He said, I continued to back up and change answers until the result was that I needed a sports car. Then I thought, you know what, this is an awesome test. It's concluded exactly what I thought. And he said, it's just an example of how most of us make decisions. Most of us make decisions based upon not what's logical, not what's right, but based upon what we crave. It's just the way we are. That's the way sheep do. Sheep see a patch of green grass. Well, it's logical that I should go there, right? A pool of water. Well, it's logical that that's where I'm thirsty. Therefore, that's the way I go. Sheep are not allowed to make decisions like that. Because the sheep will wander into grass that could be not good for them. Or drink water that's poisonous. The shepherd knows these things, but the sheep, listen, will never know these things. Never. But it's logical to them. So they go over there and they reason through it saying, oh, it was a good decision. Basically, they made the decision because they just craved grass. They wanted to drink water. No logic in it. No overarching knowledge in it. God leads us. We need a shepherd. He leads us, as it says there. We didn't read it. Let's read Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name. Note, it's all about him. He does these things for the sheep. Why? Because the primary need of the sheep is to be led. How does he find good grass? Shepherd leads him. How does he find still water? Shepherd leads him. How does he restore his own soul? He can't. Only a shepherd can do that. How does he find the right paths? Shepherd. Shepherd, shepherd, shepherd. It's all about the shepherd. That's the way it's got to be in your life. That's the way it's got to be. So what is this? Leads us in paths of righteousness. What are paths of righteousness? Well, it's not complicated. What is that which is righteous is that which is right. Isn't that true? So path of righteousness is just that simple. Path of righteousness is the right path. Do you want to be on the right path? Then you have to do what this says. Because here's what you need to know. If there is a right path, then there is therefore by default a wrong path. And for a sheep, 99 out of 100 paths are wrong. There's only one right path for a sheep. Where is that? Right behind the shepherd. That's exactly right. Nowhere else. He should never find himself anywhere else except directly behind the shepherd. So if you cannot say today that your life is right behind the shepherd, you got something you need to do. I'm walking in a relationship with God that is dynamic. It's ongoing. We're in touch at all times. We're not just on a Sunday morning, not just in the Sunday school class or when the preacher's speaking. No, not just those times, but at all times. That's the only sheep that can honestly say that they're safe and that can say that Psalm 23 actually applies to them. He leads me in paths of righteousness, right paths. I need the right path for me. And how am I going to know what that right path is? Well, there's really only one path out there for us. And it's the path the shepherd leads us to. Let me show you a verse out of the New Testament that speaks to this path, if you will, and how do we get on that path? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul writes the book of Romans to Christians. He's not writing to non-Christians. This is not a non-Christian issue. This is a Christian issue. How does a Christian get on the right path? Number one, do not be conformed to this world. We have this question in the world today, and it's a huge question for churches, is why is it that the statistics as far as sin and problems outside of the church, the world, are about the same as they are inside the church? Why is that? We're not following God as shepherd. Oh, I am a sheep, and I do belong to him, but I'm not actually doing what he says, so he's not my shepherd, you see. Oh, he is my shepherd, but I just don't follow him, so I effectively don't have a shepherd. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which requires the scriptures, so that you may prove. Notice you've got to do those two things in order to prove what the will of God is. You know, we have a lot of Christians that want to know the will of God. I bet none of you in here would, maybe some of you, I don't know. But if I ask you the question, do you want to know what the will of God is for your life? And I could come up with the answer that you would not come up to me and say, tell me, Pastor Bill. You'd want to know. Well, first of all, I don't know what the will of God is for your life. I'm not going to know. I'm not a guru. I don't read any palms or any tea leaves or turn over any cards. If you want quick answers, you're going to have to go to those people. But, well, the result is self-enforcing. Let's just say that. Don't do it, but if you're going to do it, you'll only do it once. Let's just say that. But if you want to know the will of God, you're going to have to jump through these hoops. Do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll prove what the will of God is. Notice it describes it three ways: good and acceptable and perfect. I heard one Bible teacher who scared me a bit because he says, this tells us that there's three different kinds of will of God for you. There's three levels. One is a good level. The next level up is the acceptable level, but the level God wants you to get to is the perfect level. That's not true. First of all, it's not true in the Greek. The grammar is three words that modify the single word will there. There are three ways to describe a single will of God. God has a single will for you. You understand that? He's got a single will and a path for you, and you need to get on it if you're not on it. And the way you get on it is every day following the shepherd. A string of days gives me a week in which I follow the shepherd. A string of weeks gives me a month in which I follow the shepherd. A string of months gives me a year, and a string of year gives me a life in which I follow the shepherd. That life is the kind of life that David is describing here. It's day by day. It's day by day. It's not the shepherd standing up and saying, okay, for the next 6 months, 2 years, 15 years, the rest of your life, we're going to be doing this. You won't find him doing that. Because you as a sheep will wander off if he does that, and he knows better than that. Instead, he's going to say, today, here's your assignment. Or maybe the next 15 minutes, here's your assignment. Follow me. Listen to my voice. Do what I tell you to do. Do what you know is right, which has been invested in you. Then it says, this is not three wills of God. It's one single will. It's a good and acceptable and perfect will. One way. God really has only one way for us. They differ in as much as we're different. They're multifaceted. Your way is not my way. Every day the path may change for us, but it's him for to determine that path, not us. God knows where you're going to go. How many of you have GPSs? How many of you have smartphones? If you have a smartphone, you effectively have a GPS. How many of you have an iPhone? I have an iPhone. How many of you use Siri? You know you can have a male or a female voice. And then within the male and female voice, you can have, best I can tell, only English, but you can have the British English accent, the American English. You can even have a Southern English accent. Anyway, don't start doing that while I'm up here preaching, okay? But you can do it. When you get home, you can change all that. I like to use Siri. We travel back and forth to College Station quite a bit, back and forth to Tyler, which is where my mother-in-law lives. And we use Siri. About every time we go to College Station, I will ask Siri to give me directions to College Station, and half the time, it's a different way. Sometimes through Houston, sometimes turning north of Victoria. Sometimes it wants us to go through San Antonio in that way. And a lot of times I'll listen to what Siri has to say because often Siri is informed with traffic delays and road outages. And, of course, Houston has been having a huge mess with all the water, and so it's been routing us around Houston of late. Sometimes, though, Siri will betray you. You'll find yourself going to these little bitty red lights and these little bitty turns out in the middle of nowhere. So Siri doesn't always doesn't always know. God, when he comes to us, or when we follow him, God doesn't come to us and say, here's a point on the map where I'm sending you in your life. He doesn't give you a GPS coordinates and say, see you later. He doesn't do that, one, because that's not good for a sheep. You don't tell a sheep, if I'm pastoring a sheep in this part of the world and I got to get him up to North Texas, I don't tell the sheep, okay, we're headed to Dallas, y'all take off. Sheep will never make it, even though they know the destination. They will never make it because they don't know the directions to Dallas. You want God to give you the destination of your life. He may very well do it. He's fully capable of it, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that you need to be real careful. God gives you the directions you want, the place that he's sending you. But don't think for a second he's going to give you the directions. He's not, because you need to follow him on that way. So God knows where you're going. God knows how you're going to get there. How often is important, maybe more important than the destination. How exactly do I go? God's going to lead in that. You need to let him lead in that. He knows why you're going. Why is also extremely important. So I'm going there? This way? Why? God says, I'm glad you asked that question. Follow me. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a good time together. And he also knows, of course, the timing of it all. I was called to ministry when I was 17 years old. I was about this time, some of these kids in high school. And God called me in an unmistakable way to be a pastor. And was I ready to be a pastor at 17? Oh, no. I couldn't even keep up with my own wallet at 17 years old. I didn't even know how to wash my own. My mother washed my clothes still when I was 17. Don't feel bad, guys. I know. My mother washed my, I didn't know anything. I wasn't ready to be a pastor when I was turned 26. I became a pastor when I was 26. In my opinion, I thought it was a big mistake of God. God, this is huge. At 17, I was raring to go. Thought I had the whole world by the tail. At 26, I knew for sure I did not. And God, this was a huge mistake and you shouldn't do this. God, please don't do this. These poor people, God, please don't do this. Don't put me over them. Anyway, nonetheless, God does what he does. So the timing of it all. God gives you his destination, called me to a pastor. Here I am, 22 years, 23 years later. Pastor, exactly like God called me. He gave me a destination, but he didn't tell me. He didn't give me any kind of time. He just said, you follow me, and that's what I've tried to do. So in conclusion this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you a recipe of how to mess it all up. I bet you've got this one figured out, probably, if you're like me. I've got it figured out. The recipe of how to find the wrong path. The number one way to find the wrong path is to think that you know what the right path is. That's the number one way. Because the first thought inclination of a sheep's heart, you can be certain is wrong. Whatever a sheep thinks, you can mark that off the list. That one definitely is not the right way, because that's what the sheep thought. So your first inclination, the first inclination of a heart, of the heart of a sheep, is to do the wrong thing every time. You think you've got it figured out without reliance upon God, that's definitely a way to find the wrong path. Here's what we do as sheep. We go and we start doing something because that's what our craving is. That's what our desire is. That's what our decision. We want to make our own decisions. We want to have this facade, though, because I am a sheep and God is supposed to be my shepherd anyway. I do know him as Savior, but I don't necessarily know him as shepherd. And so I have this facade over my life that looks like I'm following him. Go to church, pray, preach, try my best to act in a way that God wants me to. The bottom line is when it comes down to hard decisions, I make them. So I have a facade that I'm following the shepherd, but in reality, I'm doing my own thing. And so what I do is, but I still want God to be with me because I don't want to leave God out of my life. And so what I do is I go and I make my decisions and I ask God to come over here and bless it. God, this is what I'm going to do. Will you come over here and bless it? Let's put the imagery back in the pasture. So a sheep sees a patch of grass. He goes over and starts eating. He waves the shepherd, hey, can you come over here and bless this patch of grass for me so it won't kill me? Finds a pool of water. He goes running over because he's thirsty. It's his cravings, you see. He starts drinking the water. He doesn't know where it's poisonous or not. He doesn't know what's in it. There could be parasites. There could be anything. He doesn't know. He's never going to know. But he's a little bit fearful, so he says, hey, shepherd, can you come over here and bless this water for me? He finds a path that he wants to walk down. He doesn't know if there's predators down that path. He doesn't know where it's going to end or if it may end abruptly and wrongly. He doesn't know. He's never going to know. But he asked the shepherd to come over and bless it. This is the way we run our lives as Christians. So often God is supposed to be our shepherd, but we don't do what he says. And we call our own shots. Let me show you a verse that we need to remember. And it's spoken from the shepherd to the sheep. Because the primary role of the shepherd is what? Leadership. Because that's the primary need of the sheep. My primary need as a sheep is to be led. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In other words, we have hoops to jump through. First of all, I need to believe that God is the only way. His way is the only way. It's the only right way. It's the only way that I want. It's the only way that I'm going to follow. I'm determined with all my heart to follow it. I'm trusting him, all right? I don't need to know why. I don't need to understand, because sheep can't do that. We ask a lot of sheep questions. Why is it happening this way, God? And God's sitting up there and saying, well, I would tell you, but you're a sheep. And sheep are what? They're dumb. They just are dumb. So we need to just simply trust the shepherd. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's a huge, massive mistake for a sheep to make. Because their own understanding is, as we saw before, astray. In all your ways, submit to him, or acknowledge him, is the way one of the translations says. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I read that verse before, and I read the word that says acknowledge him, and this is what I always thought it was. The way I acknowledge God in my paths is I go and just start doing my own stuff. And then I say, thank you, Jesus. As I go and do my own thing, Jesus, would you please bless it? Like the sheep says, come over here and bless this patch of grass or this pool of water. I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going to make my own decisions. This is what I want. And I've been logical, even though I've fudged a little on the test to make it come out the way I wanted to. In fact, I fudged a lot on the test to make it come out the way I wanted to. But I want you to bless this for me. You like me? All your ways acknowledge him. That's not what it says. Submit to him. What does that mean? That means that I stop and I say these words to him, maybe not necessarily these so many words, but I say something like this: you're the shepherd, Lord. I am the sheep. I will mess this up. Please lead me. Please give me discernment. You're the shepherd, Lord. I'm the sheep. Please lead me. Please give me discernment. Are you saying that on a regular basis? That's what it means to acknowledge him. You acknowledge his lordship over you, his shepherdship, which means assuming the role of a sheep. I'm a sheep. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are nothing but mistakes. That's all they make, is mistakes, unless they're following the shepherd. How do you know when a sheep is doing right? Because he's doing exactly what the shepherd just told him to do. That sheep's going to be right every single time. So I think I've got it all figured out. That's one way to find a wrong path. I ignore God's word. This is the instructions from the shepherd to the sheep. I don't do what it says. It's going to be a wrong path. I violate my conscience. You see, when we're born again, when we accept Christ as personal Savior, God sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of our lives. Part of the function of the Holy Spirit is that he instructs our conscience. Our conscience begins to change when we come to know Christ as personal Savior. I begin to be bothered by the same things that God is bothered by if I allow myself to. As I read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit begins to instruct me. And so as I grow in my relationship with the Lord, I need to listen very carefully to my conscience. My conscience begins to say, I have a little check on my conscience. I shouldn't do that. You need to be very careful about violating your conscience, because you violate it this time, the next time it's going to be even easier, and the next time even easier. Be careful in violating your conscience. So I think I've got it figured out. I ignore God's word. I violate my conscience. And I don't be careful who my friends are is the final one here. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. Who's your friends? Tell me who your friends are. As I said, I'll tell you who you are. So I surround myself with a bunch of knuckleheads and expect not to be a knucklehead myself? That ain't going to work that way. I'm a knucklehead. Surround myself with godly people who are crying out to God, God, help me. God, rescue me. God, deliver me. God, you're my shepherd, and I'm a sheep. Surround my people with people like that, I got a lot better chance. So the primary concern of the sheep simply is this. Always needs to be this question. Is this what the shepherd wants? Is this what the shepherd wants? It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I need to be asking constantly the question, is this what the shepherd wants for my life? Is this where he wants me to go? Is this what he wants me to be? Is this, young people, who he wants me to date? Is God concerned about who you date? You bet he is. Because the fact is, who you date, you actually wind up. You don't marry somebody you don't first date. Oh, I'm dating this guy, but I married this guy that I met yesterday. Well, there are some people that do that, but mostly not. God is very interested in who you date. God is very interested in, In fact, he should have absolute say over those things. Is this where the shepherd wants me to live? Is this what the shepherd wants me to do? These should be constant questions coming. If I'm really a sheep, I really understand my role, and I really want God to be in his role as shepherd of my life, then I'm constantly asking the question, is this what the shepherd wants from me? Every day I've gotten into the habit, and it's a good habit, but I need to promote it further into my life, of asking God to order my steps. You ever prayed that prayer? I normally pray that prayer. I'm reminded to pray that prayer when I've got a lot of stuff going on. Wake up in the morning and pray and say, God, please order my steps today. Please, God, you know how things are going to work out. And then there'll be other days in which I don't have a whole lot going on, and I'll totally forget to pray that prayer. Mistake. Because the sheep needs his steps ordered every single day. Every single day I need God to order my steps, to line them up so that I am walking in a way. Because like I said, a successful life is built off successful years. Successful years are built off successful months. Successful months are built off of successful weeks. And successful weeks are built off successful days. Successful day is explained simply in me as a sheep following my shepherd. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we come to conclusion this morning. You call him a shepherd. You call him the shepherd and don't do what he says. You call him the shepherd. And yet you basically, you're really making your own decisions. You call him the shepherd, and yet you only consult him on rare occasions. You call him the shepherd, and you have tremendous confidence in your ability to make decisions and decide how things are going to go. The Lord is our shepherd. And it's only when we follow him as shepherd that we can have the blessings that a sheep needs. The greatest need I have, that we have as sheep, is to be led. Heavenly Father, we confess that to you. Our greatest need, Lord, I pray that we would all be able to say that today in our hearts. Our greatest need today and every day is your leadership. We need you to lead us. We need you to give us discernment. We need you to help us to be wise and not foolish. We need to help us, God, to be constantly asking the question, is this what the shepherd wants for me? Is this where he wants me to be? Is this what he wants me to do? Lord, for those of us who have strayed and paid the consequences, certainly we can say, oh no, I don't want to go there anymore. I want to follow the shepherd. It's not necessary that we stray in order to know how great your leadership is. Lord, I pray that we would decide today, having made no mistakes maybe, or we want you to be shepherd over our lives, not just Savior. Savior first. Savior as priority indeed. Trusting you as Savior, believing that your blood that was shed and the body that was sacrificed is our only way to be made right with God, but not just stepping out from there saying, now, Lord, as my Savior, be my shepherd. Have the say over my life, Lord. I need leadership. Heavenly Father, I thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for being always leading us. Help us, God, to follow, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.